The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Small Patients, Big Aspirations. UNC Health is leading a push to put a major freestanding children's hospital in the Triangle. And this story, written by Zach Ezone, begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Betting Billions to Heal Kids. UNC Health is leading a push to put a major freestanding children's hospital in the Triangle. As a pediatric doctor in New Bern, Dr. David Talo III has experienced months-long delays when referring his patients to a specialist. This can lead to delays in a diagnosis, which impacts treatment and can affect the health of the child, said Talo, the executive vice president of the NC Pediatric Society. It can be very frustrating for families to have to wait 6 months to see a specialist and their child is suffering from a medical condition, Talo said. It can also be fairly frustrating from a provider standpoint. But this could change over the next decade as UNC Health leads an effort to develop the first freestanding children's hospital in North Carolina. At the cost of about $2 billion to $3 billion, the health system plans to build a 500 to 600-bed facility with significant space dedicated solely to behavioral health patients. This would bring a new facility about the size of UNC Rex Hospital in Raleigh, which has more than 600 beds, to the Triangle. That number of beds, if fully realized, would place the facility within the top 10 largest children's hospitals in the country. Plans for the hospital are in early development as the health system identifies the size and scope of the facility, said UNC Health spokesperson Alan Wolf. That work includes the evaluation of multiple properties in the Greater Triangle region that meet the requirements of a 500-bed children's hospital and clinics, behavioral health facility, and more, Wolf said. We hope to select a site for the new NC Children's campus by this summer. UNC Health members have visited similar facilities in other cities, including Atlanta, to evaluate what made those projects successful. UNC Health is also talking with stakeholders in North Carolina and the Triangle about potential collaborations, including Duke Health. The project has the potential to be a major driver of economic activity. When Children's Healthcare of Atlanta in 2021 began construction on its $1.5 billion Arthur M. Blank Hospital, the health system soon received phone calls from developers. Apartment complexes, hotels, and restaurants are coming to this area, said Linda Matzigit, the health system's chief administrative officer. We've seen a lot of growth in the surrounding area once we started our construction, she said. North Carolina, despite its prestigious medical schools, remains one of the largest states without a freestanding children's hospital. This limits care, sending some families to seek care at some of the nation's top facilities, such as in Atlanta or Boston's Children's Hospital or Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. There is a heavy concentration of top children's hospitals in the Northeast, with facilities scattered elsewhere throughout the country, and fewer options in the Southeast, said Pat Nelly, president and CEO, Children's Flight of Hope, a nonprofit that helps children access health care. This is a big deal for our market. It's a big deal for children, Nelly said. We have great health care facilities here, but this would put us on the national and international map of children's health care. Getting started. The planning around Children's Healthcare of Atlanta's new billion-dollar hospital began a decade ago. In 2014, we started to see that we were full more days than not, Matzigit said. We started to say we really need to get ahead of this because we don't want to be in a situation where there are kids that we can't serve and we have to send them elsewhere. Developing a freestanding hospital can also improve healthcare as all resources at the facility are focused on children. You have specialists. You have the equipment, Matzigit said. Think about a blood pressure cuff for a baby versus a toddler versus a teenager. An adult hospital cannot provide that level of equipment expertise. Details of the North Carolina project first emerged in the state budget passed in late 2023. The General Assembly allocated $320 million to UNC Health to support the construction of the hospital on behalf of the state. Additionally, lawmakers required that the facility be built in the Triangle without details on specific counties and that it include a children's behavioral hospital. For UNC Health, this state funding acted as a down payment to kickstart its fundraising efforts. The health system in early 2024 formed a small leadership team to advance the project that included Andy Willis as the Executive Chief Planning and Development Officer, Ian Buchanan serving as Chief Project Officer, and Aaron Edwards as Vice President of Project Management. UNC Health also brought on Kevin Howell as its new Chief External Affairs Officer, who had previously filled a similar role at NC State University. The expectation was that an investment of around $2 billion to $3 billion was needed. The hospital would have about 500 to 600 beds, with about 100 dedicated solely to behavioral health patients. UNC Health has not yet said how the hospital will be governed. This includes whether the hospital will operate as part of the broader UNC Health system, a separate entity, or through a collaboration. Although North Carolina's major health systems operate existing children's hospitals throughout the state, they are all embedded in adult hospitals. A freestanding facility would allow North Carolina to expand its expertise and capacity to care for children with specific rare diseases or cancers. An existing lack of capacity and treatment options can delay care for patients or force families to seek care at hospitals outside of North Carolina. And as a fast-growing state, issues related to treatment options and hospital capacity would continue to worsen. Increasing access to specialty care would be of incredible benefit for the patients and families of our state, Talo said. We also face many challenges getting our children into adequate mental health care and facilities. Regional impact. Last year, Children's Flight of Hope provided 2,759 flights to more than 700 children throughout the country to access health care. North Carolina is the nonprofit's top state that it served, flying children with rare diseases and cancers out of North Carolina and to specialists elsewhere in the country. But we are blessed with amazing healthcare providers in North Carolina and certainly in the Triangle, Nellie said. But there are a lot of rare and complex diseases that children face, and most hospitals, even if they're good, they can't be good at everything. The organization flew children last year to more than 140 different hospitals, with Boston, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia among its top destinations. With the construction of a freestanding hospital in the Triangle, Nellie expects North Carolina to eventually make that list. What we envision when this hospital opens is the hospital quickly being one of the top hospitals we serve, she said. Talo, as a pediatric doctor in New Bern, often refers patients to ECU Health in Greenville or a Novant Health Hospital in Wilmington. But at certain times of the year, especially respiratory diseases like RSV and the flu are more prevalent, capacity can be an issue. Part of the problem is a shortage of specialty providers, which is part of a larger national issue, and a lack of capacity at existing facilities. We have a great relationship with existing hospitals, but at peak times, they fill up and don't have beds available, Talo said. On January 17, about 82% of pediatric intensive care unit beds in North Carolina were occupied, according to a dashboard from the NC Pediatric Society. Only 3 beds were available in the Triangle, with Duke Health, UNC Health, and Wake Med facilities all 90% full or higher. From his perspective, any project that increases the health care services to children would be beneficial to the state, even though the greatest needs of primary and specialty care are in the rural areas further away from the Triangle. UNC Health discharges about 13,000 children per year, a fraction of other larger freestanding hospitals like Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which has more than 30,000 discharges annually. In addition to increasing health care services, the Triangle Children's Hospital would drive economic development. It could also further grow the Triangle status as one of the country's top research hubs. Of the top 10 hospitals to receive the most funding from the National Institutes of Health in 2023, half were children's hospitals. Cincinnati Children's in Ohio and Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, two of the country's largest freestanding children's hospitals, both generated more than $300 million in external research funding, with most of the funds coming from federal agencies. In other cities, developers have invested in hotels, restaurants, and housing around these freestanding children's hospitals where families often spend days or weeks at a time. The Lindsay Institute, a public policy think tank at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, in September published a study outlining the case for developing a standalone children's hospital in southern Nevada. That study found that the construction phase of a $1 billion children's hospital could have an economic impact of about $2.1 billion, creating thousands of jobs and millions in state and local taxes. Once complete, a hypothetical 150-bed hospital in that region was estimated to contribute $1.2 billion annually to the local economy, supporting about 5,845 jobs. UNC Health has previously said the hospital would support thousands of jobs during construction and employ between 4,000 to 6,000 individuals once it opens. A new hospital would also prevent patients from leaving for care elsewhere. The study found that Nevada's Medicaid program in the previous fiscal year paid about $123.8 million for out-of-state care for children. North Carolina's Medicaid program paid $322.9 million in total claims to out-of-state providers in 2022. This includes all patients, adult and children, but that figure does not include other losses, such as the cost of parents quitting their jobs to move somewhere else for their child to receive care, said David Damore, executive director of the Lindsay Institute and a political science professor at UNLV. Not just emotional costs, but if you have to go move out of state and quit your job, it's all of the economic and social dislocation that comes with that, he said. Finding a site. UNC Health officials expect the facility to open in the early 2030s and is narrowing down sites for the hospital. The plans are to develop a campus of about 100 acres that includes medical office buildings, outpatient facilities, and capacity for research. The health system is also planning space for related development like hotels, restaurants, and other services that would support children and families traveling to the hospital. Many in the real estate industry are watching closely. In Wake County, one of the few areas where that amount of developable land is available is near its border with Johnston County, said Sarah Godwin, Senior Vice President of Land Services at Foundry Commercial. In addition to Johnston, Chatham County has available land and a solid highway connector to U.S. 64. There are also large parcels of land available north of Durham and closer to Hillsboro. If UNC Health wants a more central location near the airport, the options are more limited. One area that could fit this requirement would be north of Briar Creek near Carpenter Pond and Coley Roads, but this area also has challenges with sewer connections and certain land protections due to nearby Falls Lake. UNC Health in early 2024 acquired land near Research Triangle Park, 54 acres on Hobson Road and Highway 55 in southern Durham County, west of Highway 885. The health system at the time said the land purchase was not for a specific purpose, but rather future expansion. Access is another important consideration for any healthcare development, said Trey Adams, a managing partner at Atlas Stark. While Adams is not involved in UNC Health, Health's plans, he has experience working on medical facilities projects. Most healthcare organizations develop facilities that patients can easily navigate, entering and exiting with plenty of space for parking in highly populated areas. But the surrounding environment can also play a role. Adams said these sorts of facilities can involve buffer land and other components that create a campus-like feel. Atlanta's new hospital, for instance, has a 20-acre garden. After securing the land, the Atlanta Health System began working with architects to plan the project while also working with different agencies to navigate the regulations and obtain the permits required. The health system also heard from children who wanted a facility with roller coasters and swimming pools, while the parents desired washing and drying machines to do laundry and a comfortable bed to sleep in. You don't just put up a hospital, Matsugeet said. It takes years of planning and lots of input from the community, from patients, from parents, from staff. Future obstacles. Planning of the hospital is occurring as health systems navigate financial challenges related to the pandemic. Fitch Ratings last year reported that nonprofit children's hospitals in 2023 exhibited the lowest profitability level in 10 years. Despite the declines, median operating margins for children's hospitals remain positive at 2.7% amid labor shortages and capacity management challenges. The pandemic also exacerbated the mental health challenges affecting the country's youth, says Richard Park, a director at Fitch Ratings with a focus on nonprofit children's hospitals. If you have more mental health cases that are occurring, that will have a downstream effect on emergency room volume, Park said. Then you also see the effect of COVID, RSV, and flu. They have been combined all at once. Therefore, emergency room volume spikes through the roof. The financial situation is complicated by a lack of workers, including pediatric doctors. Last year, for instance, the percentage of pediatric residency positions that were filled through the National Resident Matching Program was 92%, down from 97% the previous year. North Carolina matched 59 of its 70 pediatric residency openings, according to data from National Resident Matching Program, although in the Triangle, both Duke University and UNC Chapel Hill matched all their positions. Significantly, children's hospitals typically have an easier time fundraising. Health systems typically to replace existing services. A health system investing in its first freestanding hospital is not seen as often, Park said. It's not surprising to see a hospital make a move like this in order to solidify who they are, what they do, and their ability to provide those services, Park said. But that being said, a freestanding children's hospital is a very heavy investment to make, so it doesn't get made very often. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. This co-working space finds success. Raleigh's Loading Dock is seeing interest at all three of its locations. The president of a co-working space in Raleigh says her three locations are seeing rising interest as companies reevaluate their real estate needs. The Loading Dock started at Dock 1053 back in 2016, and its unique location in a former Raleigh warehouse drew creatives and small business owners who wanted a place to plop down the MacBook and think. And the ability to rent flexible option warehouse space proved useful for small businesses, especially those with a digital focus who need storage for their products. 3 years ago, the Loading Dock expanded with a new location near Meredith College on Barrel Road and another in Wake Forest. And despite the spectacular troubles of WeWork, Loading Dock president Jesse Hathcock said the three locations with more than 100,000 square feet combined are at 94% occupancy. Hathcock said Loading Dock had roughly 500 members at the start of 2020. Right now, she said there are 1,200 members and 440 companies working in its three locations. That includes companies like Furbish, whose collection of home products includes whimsical pillows. Their growth has been exponential, and it's been so fun to walk beside them, she said. Another success story is Go Bee, which has designed an innovative spinner for children's snacks. Go Bee, spelled G-O-B-E. Capital G and a capital B, started with a small space and has expanded rapidly at the Barrel Road location. While small companies remain the Loading Dock's key clients, Hathcock said she sees potential as major firms such as Allstate slash their corporate spaces. But we've positioned ourselves to be a space for those companies, Hathcock said. She said comparing the Loading Dock to WeWork is like comparing apples and oranges, noting that WeWork grew quickly and went bankrupt. We're basically a bootstrapped company, much, much, much slower growth, said Hathcock, but growth nonetheless. Raleigh firm makes another acquisition. A Triangle company is starting 2025 on an M&A roll. Raleigh-based Insight Software has acquired Just Perform, a cloud-native planning, consolidation, and reporting platform. The company said that it's a play to enhance performance and drive smarter decision-making for its clients. In the last 6 years, Insight Software has acquired 29 companies, including recent acquisitions of Just Perform, Lease Accelerator, FX Loader, and FiPlana. North Hills offers new wine bar at Legendary Spot. A wine bar based in Charlotte is opening soon at North Hills at a North Hills location with a long history of hospitality. The Foxcroft Wine Company has opened at North Hills in the Lassiter District. The wine bar, named for the residential district near the South Park Shopping Center in Charlotte, is in the former Midtown Grill location. The Midtown Grill closed in September 2022 after a 17-year run. Before that, the site was the home of Capper's, a beloved Raleigh restaurant that opened in the early 1990s and featured first-rate food and jazz at a time when such offerings were rare in Raleigh. Meredith dives into developing new nurses. The North Carolina Board of Nursing has approved Meredith College's proposal to create a nursing program. Students at Meredith can apply for the program through a secondary application process beginning this fall. Graduates can apply for licensure as registered nurses and will be prepared to work across various healthcare settings and organizations. The Board of Trustees last year approved the formation of a program aimed at filling a critical need with the shortage of healthcare workers. The Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges approved the program late last year. North Carolina is expected to have a shortage of nearly 12,500 registered nurses by 2033. Other schools also trying to fill this gap. The University of North Carolina system last year awarded about $29 million to a dozen public universities in North Carolina to expand nursing education programs. And finally, Wilmington Airport adds Boston nonstop. Wilmington International Airport is adding another carrier this spring and with a daily seasonal flight to Boston. JetBlue will run the flight April 30 to October 25 on its A220 jet. The new flight comes as the airport is working on multiple capital projects as it looks to keep pace with growth in the region. The Wilmington Airport is currently served by American Airlines, Delta Airlines, United Airlines, Avalo Airlines, Breeze Airways, and Sun Country Airlines. United announced last month it would be increasing service to Chicago and adding a new nonstop flight to Denver. Delta and American each offer seasonal service to Boston out of Wilmington. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one written by Kaylee Thompson, Chapel Hill condos to sell for up to $2 million. White Oak Properties of Raleigh plans 59 units on Columbia Street. Condominiums that will go for up to $2 million are coming to Chapel Hill. White Oak Properties of Raleigh will soon start vertical construction on its long-awaited condo project on Columbia Street off Highway 501, south of town. The project, named 1100 Columbia, will have 59 units with prices starting in the low $400,000s and going up to $2 million. The units that will be $1 million and above are two-story townhome penthouse-style condos. There will be nine of them that range from 1,324 to 2,331 square feet with two or three bedrooms. The remaining 50 units will be flats with one and two bedrooms. Those units will be between 592 and 1,166 square feet. Sales have already started with 10 reserved and or sold so far, according to realtor Rhonda Sostek of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, who is handling sales for the project. Roland Gammon, founder of White Oak, said he is aiming to have the condos complete by the end of the year. The condos will have 9-foot ceilings. Sostek said there are only a handful of amenities in an effort to keep HOA fees low for residents. Those include a workout studio, open-air lounges with televisions, indoor-outdoor fluid space, EV chargers, and a 2-acre park with walking trails. Gammon made an agreement with the town to preserve half of the 4-acre site as a wooded park. That agreement included a commitment to restore and upgrade the stream running through the site. Gammon said the development cost for the project is about $40 million, funded via equity partners and a loan from Carter Bank. 8 of the units will be dedicated as affordable housing, with 4 of them held for residents earning 65% or less of the area median income, and the other 4 for those making 80% or less of AMI. Gammon has been trying to develop condos on the site for decades. He received rezoning approval in 2021 to develop up to 60 condos. Entity tied to CEO Goodnight buys more land near SAS headquarters. This is written by Lauren Onosorge and Kaylee Thompson. Quietly, an entity tied to SAS Institute's CEO has bought a pair of properties near the analytics company's headquarters in Cary, but the company isn't saying why. The land on Richard Drive and North Harrison Avenue is adjacent to the SAS campus and was bought by Reedy Creek Investments, which has made these kinds of moves before. Reedy Creek Investments is an investment vehicle of SAS CEO Jim Goodnight, who could not be reached to comment on the property acquisitions. Don Parker, executive vice president and financial advisor to Goodnight, did not return requests to talk about the deals. A spokesperson for SAS said the company does not comment on Reedy Creek activities. The 1.1-acre property at 601 Richard Drive was sold to Reedy Creek for $1.2 million last month by the King family, Tommy, Nancy, and Jeffrey, according to Wake County property records. The property has an assessed tax value of just under $540,000. The 2-acre site at 1632 North Harrison Avenue was sold for $633,500 by Wake Pines LLC. Both properties have single-family homes built in 1980 and 1970, respectively. Whether those will be torn down is unclear. The Kings have sold land to SAS before. In 2008, Tommy King and Nancy King said they hoped that by selling land at the corner of Richard Drive and Harrison Avenue, they could fund their retirement. But Tommy King initially told Triangle Business Journal SAS had turned them down. Other potential buyers stepped up, including real estate development firm Soleil Group. Soleil ended up withdrawing plans to build a 6-acre mixed-use project near SAS after facing opposition from the technology company. At the time, Parker said the Kings were asked too high a price for the land and that we're asking too high a price for the land and that Reedy Creek had no plans to buy the King property. But records show Reedy Creek closed on a 1.7-acre property at 1700 North Harrison Avenue owned by the Kings back in 2012 for $850,000. That property is directly across from 1632 and adjacent to the Richard Drive property. The house on site was raised in 2015, according to Wake County tax records. According to previous TBJ reporting, the Kings had originally pitched the real estate to SAS for about $3 million. According to real estate veteran Steve Stroud, who represented the Kings decades ago with the proceeds of the initial sale to SAS, the Kings retired to the country. The recent sales appear to be additional properties the Kings own near SAS that weren't included in the initial sale. Reedy Creek has closed on multiple properties totaling hundreds of acres in the area over the past several years, property records show. That includes opportunistic purchases of homes held for years by local families. The land deals come as SAS remains quiet about the potential for a public offering. Goodnight has instructed his team to be IPO ready, a goal Chief Technology Officer Brian Harris said last year could be attainable in 2025. Reedy Creek has made many real estate investments over the years. Last year, it reached a contract with Carillion Assisted Living for one of its properties on Water's Edge Drive to someday sell that property with an initial closing date of September 2026. Taco Spot Juice Bar joined East Raleigh Retail Project. A retail development along New Bern Avenue in East Raleigh has added two new food and beverage tenants, K Pashu Tacos and Bar, a Mexican restaurant, and Squeeze, a juice bar and cafe, have joined the lineup at 1601 New Bern Avenue. The redevelopment project is a partnership between Capital Commercial LLC, Carroll Development, and AB Capital Advisors. The goal is to bring more restaurants and retail to the New Bern corridor, which has been marked for growth by city officials. The 11,650-square-foot building will also be home to Blotto, a new bar from the owners of Noose River Brewing Company. Blotto is slated to open as early as February, while K Pashu and Squeeze will open as early as March. Three of the six units at the building are currently leased. K Pashu is a new location for Ruth Guerra and her sister-in-law. Guerra owns K Pashu Mariscos Bar and Grill south of downtown. The new spot's menu will feature a variety of tacos and cocktails. Meanwhile, Raleighite Wes Woody plans to bring juices, smoothies, and nutritious meals through Squeeze. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal. We'll start with Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. City Plat has new plans for former Kmart site. Raleigh firm plans to redevelop the site, but that will take more time. Real estate investment firm City Plat has purchased a former Kmart property in Raleigh that's been ripe for redevelopment for years. City Plat paid $14 million for the property at 4500 Western Boulevard, per Wake County records. The 12-acre site and the 118,000-square-foot building is located west of NC State University at the Western Boulevard and Interstate 440 interchange. It's one of the last underdeveloped intersections on the Beltline, City Plat principal Nikita Zitoff said. The previous owner was Wilmington-based Jack A. Sneeden Corporation, which developed the property and had owned it since the late 1960s. Stuart Sneeden signed the deed transferring the property to City Plat. Zitoff and City Plat have short-term and long-term plans for the site. For now, City Plat is spending approximately $5 million on basic cosmetic renovations, including parking and facade work. City Plat will subdivide the building into separate retail suites starting at 15,000 square feet for new tenants. Right now, the firm is actively negotiating several leases with potential retail, hospitality, and entertainment tenants. Zitoff is aiming for the building to be fully leased within months. We wanted to create something that would be good for the community, Zitoff said. The firm has hired Redline Design Group and Behringer Construction as its architect and general contractor for the renovation project. In the future, City Plat wants to spend $500 million to build a high-density mixed-use development, including retail, office, hospitality, and residential, but it will be a while before that gets rolling. Within 10 years, we're going to be looking to redevelop the site, he said. Currently, the batting cage business Grand Slam USA occupies the former Kmart. It will be vacating soon, Zitoff said. Wells Fargo Bank occupies an outparcel and has a year left on its lease. The Kmart store closed following the Sears bankruptcy in 2018. Zitoff said his Raleigh firm worked on the deal over the course of 7 months. City Plat competed against national and local developers, he said. It was a high-profile site, Zitoff said, adding that the property's visibility from the highway made it desirable. Zitoff was able to offer a quick closing, 120 days, although City Platte later negotiated an extension, which helped cinch the deal. Wake County recorded the sale January 9. The total assessed value of the site is $14.4 million per Wake County records. Previous attempts to redevelop the site include plans for a Harris Teeter and other retail uses, although city officials have pushed for mixed-use development there in the past. Elsewhere in the Triangle, City Platte has developed a food and beverage destination in Durham with tenants like Mescalito, Lone Rider, and Octoon Coffee and Bar. Zitoff said City Platte has expanded to Charlotte and has been focusing on buying existing industrial and retail property and repurposing them rather than new development. The real estate group also owns several properties along Hillsborough Street in Raleigh. Sports Bar opens in downtown Raleigh. Halftime Sports Lounge will be on Hargett Street near Moore Square. A new sports bar is opening in a part of downtown Raleigh that's on the rebound. Cousins Mo Deloach and A.J. McNeil have opened Halftime Sports Lounge at 133 East Hargett Street near Moore Square. The owners have been working for half a year to get the bar up and running. Hailing from Rocky Mount, Deloach's background includes stints as a professional basketball player overseas. He also owns Mo and D's Grill and Bar in downtown Rocky Mount, which serves wings, hamburgers, fries, shrimp, and more. He spent time in Raleigh attending a basketball academy growing up, and he decided it was time to open a business in the capital. "I just wanted to try my luck out in Raleigh," he said. Deloach liked the building's location across from the Marbles Kids Museum, two blocks away from Fayetteville Street. Other bars nearby include the London Bridge Pub, Watts and Ward, and the Hippo. "I think it's a great location, and I think it's growing," Deloach said. Halftime's full bar will feature cocktails, beer, and wine. The interior is decked out with generous LED lighting to create a stimulating atmosphere in addition to 8 TVs for watching games. The Remedy Diner previously occupied the building from 2008 to 2017 before it moved to Morgan Street. It has since closed. The 1920s-era building last sold in 2023 for $1.28 million per Wayne County deed records. The new bar will be big enough to host 75 to 100 people. Deloach said the bar will host a food truck for guests to grab food and bring inside. Deloach has hired 10 employees. "I'm very excited and just look forward to people coming to support me and my business partner on this venture," Deloach said. Downtown Raleigh is set to gain another new business by Moore Square as the coffee shop Lucky Tree plans to open there early this year. The area could change dramatically in the years ahead as the city is working on plans to transform City Market. Shrunken Head adds new Franklin Street location. An iconic Franklin Street sportswear shop that first opened in Chapel Hill in 1969 has expanded to a second location. "We have outgrown this sweet little spot," Shrunken Head boutique store manager Melissa Pate said January 15. Her grandparents, Mary Edna and Shelton Henderson, actually started the Shrunken Head in Jacksonville in 1962 as a store that sold hippie paraphernalia and beach-style clothes. They moved the store to 155 East Franklin Street in 1969. Pate said the current space only has about 970 square feet for retail, so they're adding a second location only a few doors away. That location had a soft opening January 13. Pate said that location has roughly 1,400 square feet of retail space. The plan is to move the Carolina-related gear to the new shop and to focus on local products at the original space. The plan is to offer local gifts and even foods from local vendors, such as a barbecue sauce from the Carolina Brewery. "Chapel Hill doesn't have anything like that right now," Pate said. And finally, Roseville lands gaggle of new retailers. Roseville is gaining a number of new retail shops as the small town continues to explode. Wallbrook, a mixed-use development that will include a Publix, has landed 11 retail tenants that plan to open in mid-2025. The largest of the 11 tenants is El Jefe Modern Mex, which has taken a 3,115-square-foot space. The majority of the other tenants are national chains, including Club Pilates, Five Guys, Verizon, Jersey Mike's, and Great Clips. Crossland Southeast and Core Sound Development are the developers behind Wallbrook, which is located at South Main Street and Jonesville Road. Wallbrook now has 21,000 square feet in signed retail leases, with 9,000 square feet still available for additional tenants in the first phase of the project. When completed, the $120 million, 78-acre Walbrook development will include 265,000 square feet of commercial space and 140 townhomes. Publix initially planned to open in 2023, but due to delays, the grocery store plans to open this fall, according to the town of Rollsville's social media. Crossland Southeast partner Austin Williams said in a release that Walbrook is well on its way to becoming a central hub for dining, shopping, and community connection. In 2000, Rollsville had only 995 residents. Now, the population has climbed past 11,000. And now we turn to Lauren Onosorge's page, Technology and Innovation. Wolfspeed raises $200 million as it chases CHIPS Act cash. Trump's arrival could upend future of CHIPS Act funding. Right before the Trump administration landed in the White House, Durham semiconductor manufacturer Wolfspeed checked a major box required to receive hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal CHIPS Act. The public company completed an at-the-market offering program, selling $200 million in shares. The proceeds will be used to improve its capital structure, reduce leverage, and address outstanding maturities on its balance sheet. But more importantly, it's a requirement to receive the previously announced funds from the CHIPS Act, part of which will go toward a new factory in Chatham County. President Donald Trump has been a vocal critic of the CHIPS Act, signed when Joe Biden was president. While Wolfspeed was approved last year for a $750 million grant from the CHIPS Act, the U.S. Department of Commerce gave it a contingency. To get the funds, it would have to strengthen its balance sheet, a directive that included raising up to $300 million in non-debt capital. To meet that demand, the company announced last month plans to raise $200 million, but the stock price, which dipped nearly 40% in the last month, has reflected the market's uncertainty that Wolfspeed could reach that goal. Interim Wolfspeed CEO Thomas Werner said the plan is to start disbursements of funds this year and that the aggressive target is to have an agreement signed toward the middle of the year. Werner, who took over after former CEO Greg Lowe was fired last year, said the team is actively engaged with the CHIPS program office, meeting every day in some capacity. Werner himself meets with CHIPS representatives regularly to ensure that milestones are progressing. We're an American company spending billions of dollars in America to expand our tech presence to employ Americans, and we're critical to national security, Werner said, pointing to the fact that the next generation semiconductors the company makes are used in defense applications. If anybody should have support in the CHIPS Act, certainly Wolfspeed should be up there, he said. Raleigh Public Company gets a new name, shifts focus. One of Raleigh's stealthiest public companies will soon be no more, at least in name. Issuer Direct Corporation is taking a pivot that gives it a new name, Access Newswire Incorporated, a new stock ticker and a new focus. The company, founded on compliance with federal regulators, is shifting entirely towards its newswire business. It's a bittersweet but necessary change, says founder and CEO Brian Balberni. The reality is our public company customers are far less today than what they were 5 or 10 years ago, Balberni said. Today, the newswire business makes up about 80% of the firm's revenue. The brand change allows the company to be recognized for what people know us for, he said. The plan is to go all in on that identity and find a buyer to take over its legacy compliance business. The goal is to allow the newly rebranded Access Newswire to be debt-free. The company also will change its stock ticker from ISDR to ACCS effective January 27. It's a complete shift from when Balberni founded Issuer Direct in 2006, back when cloud computing wasn't a thing, he said, but that has changed significantly in recent years. And finally, defense firm Nixt NC for huge job project. A defense startup making autonomous weapons has pledged to create 4,000 jobs in Ohio, the largest project in that state's history, and it could have been in North Carolina. The North Carolina Department of Commerce confirmed that Anduril, A-N-D-U-R-I-L, Industries, which announced its pick of Ohio for an advanced manufacturing complex early January 16, has been in talks with the Tar Heel State for the mega project. or had been. It's unclear where exactly Anduril had been looking, but the firm has existing ties in the Triangle. In 2023, it bought out Blue Force Technologies, a Research Triangle Park aerospace company. Blue Force had made headlines for expanding the Wake Forest, where it was working on a federally funded drone development project meant to train future fighter pilots. But it's likely North Carolina would have considered an incentives offer, judging by the scope of the project. Anduril's factory in Ohio is expected to generate an additional 4,500 jobs among suppliers, services, and indirect employment. The Ohio Department of Development projects it will mean $2 billion in economic activity and $800 million in tax revenue. Anduril was founded in 2017 by Palmer Luckey, known as the designer of the Oculus Rift. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. Durham's Ribometrics turns to a new CEO. Marshall steps in for Solomon, who led the firm from the beginning. A Durham biotechnology firm has appointed new leadership as the firm tries to develop a new approach of treating diseases. Ribometrics, a spin-out of UNC Chapel Hill, has named William Marshall as its new CEO, succeeding former chief executive Michael Solomon. Marshall, who has previous experience at companies such as Thermo Fisher Scientific and Amgen, has been involved with Ribometrics since joining the company as a scientific advisor and board member in 2017. Marshall steps into the role after Solomon, who had led the company since its founding, decided to move on to other ventures last fall. In another leadership change, Ribometrics has appointed Katie Warner, a company co-founder, as chief scientific officer. Most drugs target proteins or enzymes, but Ribometrics is attempting to move a level up in genetic regulation by targeting RNA, a molecule involved in creating proteins. This would open up possibilities to target diseases that so far have been considered undruggable, Marshall said. No one has ever done this before. You're flying the plane as you're building it, Marshall said. While there are therapies on the market that target RNA, they are injectable medicines. Ribometrics aims to develop a small molecule drug that can be taken orally. While the technology can be applied broadly, Ribometrics is focusing a lot of its work in oncology. The idea that you can get a pill form that could hit these targets that are undruggable or for which only injectables exist is very attractive, Marshall said. The company, since launching, has focused on optimizing its technology. Along the way, Ribometrics has attracted the interest of other large drug developers, landing partnerships with Vertex Pharmaceuticals and Genentech, a member of the Roche Group. Both deals gave Ribometrics millions of dollars up front and put the firm in line for even larger payouts in the future, depending on their success. In addition to funding through these partnerships, Ribometrics in 2018 raised $30 million in a Series A round. Clinical research firm terminates jobs agreement. Following years of layoffs and an acquisition, a clinical research technology company has terminated an incentives agreement with the North Carolina Department of Commerce. The department's Economic Investment Committee, January 14, canceled a job development investment grant awarded to Science 37 in late 2021. At the time, the company said it planned to create 250 local jobs as part of a headquarters relocation. Science 37 was in line for roughly $3.3 million over 12 years through the JDIG. The first year of the grant period ended December 31, 2023. At that time, Science 37 did not retain 99 positions for the full grant term and did not create another 83 required positions. In a letter to Commerce, the company cites unfavorable global economic conditions in 2022 and 2023. The company's customers, particularly those that are especially reliant on the credit and capital markets, have had challenges with being able to raise money to conduct existing trials or to fund new drug development and related future clinical trials, Chief Financial Officer Wesley King said in a letter. And finally, Relias expands with acquisition of Raleigh firm. Two Triangle companies focused on the healthcare sector have joined through a recent acquisition. Near the end of last year, Relias, a Morrisville company that offers workforce solutions for healthcare organizations, acquired FeedTrail Healthcare XM, a Raleigh health technology firm. FeedTrail operates as a patient experience platform for healthcare organizations. For Relias, the acquisition extends the company's quote, ability to improve outcomes in both patient care, quality, and workforce management for our customers, unquote. That's CEO Kay Kraft said that in a statement. The companies did not disclose financial details. For Feedtrail, the deal came about as the firm was last year either actively seeking either a strategic partnership or investment to support its growth, CEO Stephanie Alexander said. Ultimately, Feedtrail determined that a merger with Relias would accelerate growth faster than an investment. Additionally, the acquisition is a strong fit of two companies that previously worked together and offer products that do not overlap, Alexander said. The acquisition also moves both companies into new areas. Relias, for example, is involved in post-acute care, which Feedtrail is not. And our last reporter page is written by Kaylee Thompson, real estate and development. Developer with Triangle Ties changes name. Al Nayer changes name to Maris to avoid confusion in the market. A well-known real estate company with offices in Raleigh is changing its name for the first time since it was founded. Al Nayer will now be known as Maris, M-E-R-U-S. Portmanteau incorporating the words Merit and Us. The firm based in Cincinnati has been employee-owned through an employee stock ownership plan, or ESOP, E-S-O-P, since 2014. Molly North, CEO of Maris, described the transition as a natural evolution of the employee ownership model. It's about honoring our legacy while confidently showcasing the vision, energy, and innovation that drive us forward as employee owners, she said. The name change took effect company-wide January 21, impacting the firm's downtown Cincinnati headquarters office, as well as its offices in Raleigh, Pittsburgh, and Nashville, Tennessee. The company has built a sizable footprint in the Triangle since opening an office here in May 2019. One of its projects is Garner Business Park 70, which is 100% occupied. In Orange County, the Buckhorn Industrial Park off Interstate 40 scored a major Fortune 500 company in Thermo Fisher Scientific. The park is 52% leased. Justin Parker, Raleigh market leader for Maris, said the company anticipates adding more employees to its local headcount of 14 as it looks to develop more industrial projects and dive into multifamily in the Triangle. The company will remain 100% owned by the employees. Recently, former Highwoods Property CEO Ed Frisch joined the company as a board member. The change was motivated, at least in part, by brand confusion. Alfonso Nayer incorporated the family business under his own name in Cincinnati Alfonso Nayer incorporated the family business under his own name in Cincinnati in 1929. By then, it was in its third generation of family ownership, having started under his grandfather in 1894. Members of successive generations assumed leadership roles until the formation of the ESOP. "We were always answering this question, which Nayer?" North said. "And we were always answering, who's Al?" Maris ended 2024 with $358 million in billings. New York investor grabs carry land for $500,000 per acre. A New York investment firm spent more than $500,000 per acre on carry land. Gen Partners, J-E-N, a residential land investor, acquired an 11-acre parcel in Southwest Cary near the interchange for Highway 540 and Interstate 64 for $5.6 million, according to Wake County deed records. The property is earmarked for Phase 2 of Roberts Crossing's residential community. 7019 Roberts Road was advertised by Pickett Sprouse Commercial with an original list price of about $3.3 million. The seller, Pranay Parekh, had a subdivision application approved by the town in December 2023 after buying the land for $3.3 million in March of the same year. The land has an assessed value of $2.62 million. Land in Cary has been going for big bucks lately as the area around is in high demand for home builders and residents. Land in Southeast Cary for a multifamily project went for $750,000 an acre. TriPoint Homes spent $9.5 million on 32 acres in Northwest Cary and $36.4 million for 104 acres on the Cary Apex Line. Also, a nearly 50-acre site along Regency Parkway is for sale with a suggested price of $20 million. And finally, new Raleigh townhomes priced below $300,000. New townhomes are for sale in Raleigh at a price that's been mostly unheard of for years in the region. KB Home has officially opened its Richland Reserve community located west of Highway 1 near the Wakefield Commons Shopping Center, not far from Wake Forest. The new community will have 44 townhomes, with 6 already sold and 22 now move-in ready. Prices start at $290,000. The low price is a rarity in the Triangle, especially for Raleigh. The median sales price for homes in Raleigh was $475,525 in December, while in Wake Forest the price was $447,130, according to Dorify MLS. Townhomes are increasingly becoming the affordable option for owning a home in the region amid record prices and mortgage rates above 6%. The median sales price for townhomes for the Triangle in December was $378,000. Upscale and luxury townhomes priced higher have brought that price up. The two-story townhomes at Richland Reserve have floor plans with 2 and 3 bedrooms and range in size from 1,155 to 1,601 square feet. Features include granite countertops, stainless steel appliances, birch cabinets, smart thermostats, and 9-foot ceilings on the first floor. Richland Reserve is at 10807 Ponderosa Service Road with a Wake Forest address, but in the city and jurisdiction of Raleigh. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice Q&A column. Actually, it's just a regular column this time. This is written by Lauren Anasorge. The headline, "She Gives a Voice to Small Business. Olala Jenga helps clients find a path to success by asking them, what do you do incredibly well without even thinking about it?" And along with this article, there's a closer look box that has name, Olala Jenga, hometown, Chicago, alma mater, East Carolina University, family, husband, George, 2 children, career aspiration as a child, middle school English teacher. Olala Jenga was a single mom and recently laid off from a position at Cisco when she jumped off the entrepreneurship cliff. It was a rough journey, one that meant beans and franks for dinner sometimes as she set aside cash reserves to fund her new business. But 22 years after Jenga founded Raleigh consultancy Yellowwood Group, she wouldn't have it any other way. Jenga moved to the Triangle from Chicago, recruited quite happily to Cisco, where she would have stayed until retirement had it not been for the layoffs. Jenga didn't have a local support system, but she did have drive. She took on professional development courses, taking advantage of every resource she could find. When she was told she should be an entrepreneur, her answer was, "Entrepa what?" But the freelance opportunities kept coming. She was so busy with paid freelance projects that it interfered with her job search. She was an entrepreneur before she even realized it, freelancing her way to her own company, where she found herself foregoing a salary for 2 years to reinvest in the business. Along the way, Jenga learned entrepreneurship is often unglamorous. "I'm comfortable being uncomfortable," she said. "I live in a constant state of a conundrum. That's not okay for a lot of people, but for entrepreneurs, that's how we live." Eventually, she found herself out of the traditional workforce for 1.5 years, and there was no turning back at that point, Jenga said. So she built Yellowwood to translate her experiences into a consultancy that would help small businesses. It was difficult. It was 10 years before her mother would stop asking me, "Are you going to get a real job?" she said. But she made it. In 2023, she was named the Small Business Advocate of the Year by the National Small Business Association, or NSBA. Today, in addition to her company, she serves on several boards, including the SBA and NC Works Commission. Jenga credits her Christian faith with that comfort with being uncomfortable, as well as her background having escaped domestic violence. "It takes a lot to scare more or intimidate me," she said. "When you walk away from that, it puts a lot of life into perspective for you about what you're really made of. What does resilience look like? What does grit look like? And ultimately, what does grace from God look like?" She advises others at an impasse in their careers to start by taking inventory of what do you do incredibly well without even thinking about it. "Oftentimes, people are in jobs because of their competency, but not because of their gift," she said. "If you're going and growing in the direction that God wants you to be, you'll see those things. They'll become more obvious. That might inform you that maybe it's time to do something different that's maybe not on your radar." And we have a Q&A article from a new section, NC Business Minds. About North Carolina Business Minds, the business journals of the Triad Triangle and Charlotte have launched a podcast series to give you access to key leaders across the state and to equip you with business intelligence about the latest news and top trends in North Carolina. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The headline is, "His passion is seeing airlines grow and evolve." David Neilman has launched multiple airlines, and now Breeze Airways is making an impact at RDU. And this is written by Lauren Onasorge. From Raleigh to Charlotte to the Triad and across North Carolina, we're bringing you access to key business leaders, the latest news and the top trends, stories, and exclusive interviews with top executives across North Carolina as our new series, North Carolina Business Minds. Here, Lauren Onasorge of Triangle Business Journal speaks with David Neilman, CEO of Breeze Airways, an ultra-low-cost carrier with a pretty significant presence at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Onasorge, so David, you're on your fifth airline. So long before Breeze Airways, you have some exits under your belt, but you keep starting airlines. Why aren't you retired on a beach somewhere? Neilman, I like making a difference in people's lives. I like creating jobs for people. Onasorge, what is it like to start Breeze when there's a global pandemic? Or what was it like? Neilman, it was a tough time for airlines, but Breeze got through. We had 55 employees when it started, and obviously we weren't going to start flying during that time, but had to carry all that financial burden and come out the other end as a much stronger company. Everyone's just now trying to remodel themselves. Now, luckily for Breeze, we had a lot of foresight in this, and we saw where the market was going 4 or 5 years ago. We bought brand new airplanes. We put Wi-Fi on them, high-speed Wi-Fi. We said, okay, here's our lowest fare, and if you want to buy a bag, that's fine. But if you want to come up to our nicer section, you just bought a $39 fare, how about paying us? We're a hybrid. We were in the beginning, and so that was one of our hallmarks. Onasorge, a lot of these smaller airports are hungry for commercial service. What role do incentives play in that recruitment? Neilman, it plays a role, but it needs to make sense too, because that money can go really quickly. Onasorge, but obviously with the size of some of these flights, you can pivot. Neilman, we exit very few markets, so when we go in, we're serious about it. We like to say we do pivot seasonality-wise. It's once we establish a base and we have a strong base, then we pivot seasonally, but we're pretty much there to stay. Onasorge, you reported your first monthly profit recently. Understand you're expecting to be profitable in all of 2025? Neilman, that's the budget, and we had a really good fourth quarter. Onasorge, you went from a net loss of more than $2.5 million in 2023 to profitability. So what's the secret sauce? Neilman, I think it's just having great people, nice people serving nice people and repeat business. We hardly ever cancel a flight. We'd rather run you 2 hours late than cancel your flight, and so we do some of that, but we really want to get people there. Onasorge, so any entrepreneurial advice? Neilman, just surround yourself with really good people and take good care of them. Try and be flawless. Try and be an extraordinary company, because extraordinary companies are successful, and that attention to detail every day is just really critically important. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.